All right, welcome to class today. Before we dive in on our comments, questions, concerns, other things for me. Yeah.
What's a hat? Is that a hat or is it eating his head?
These are all interesting questions. Thank you for sharing. Yes?
Is the noise in cameras similar to the noise in rendering? Like, what causes both of those?
Oh, yeah, okay. They're very similar approaches, but let's talk first about cameras. So, we have usually a lens array coming down to something that detects light. Okay, in the back of our camera, let's assume we have a big camera, okay? So we have something that detects light. And so, how does the camera work? Well, it needs to detect photons. So, individual photons are shot from some light source, bounce around the world, and eventually enter the lens and get focused onto the camera. And photons are not generated in arbitrary numbers instantaneously. They're generated over time. Now, there's a whole lot of them generated, but they're generated over time. And so we need to collect enough photons to make a nice, smooth image. Photons come in what in random truer than computer random, because quantum, right? So photons are generated in, as far as we know, actually random orientation, but huge numbers of them. And so if we have a big lens, we can collect millions of photons for any given receptor. But if we don't have a big lens, then we're going to have trouble doing that. So the amount of photons we're going to get is sort of the area of the lens times the exposure time. Okay? This is going to be the number of photons we will see is going to be proportional to this, and also to how bright the scene is and so on. And so if we want to get enough photons to smooth things out, then we want a low reactivity. So we want any given photon to make a small difference in how much we see things. And we want to collect a whole lot of photons so we can get nice smooth gradations. If we said each pixel in our receptor either saw a photon or not, we would get a black or white image in the true sense of black or white, no gray, right? And so we want this to be only a little bit receptive to each photon and a whole lot of photons to each one to get a nice smooth image. But we don't, because a huge lens makes a huge depth of field effect. So our lens area is capped by our desire to have more than one thing in focus, and we need to carry it around. And our exposure time is capped by our desire to catch things that aren't completely still. So we end up making both of these smaller, which reduces the number of photons, which increases the need to make this sensitive, which makes it more dependent on the random arrival of an individual photon. In a computer, we are also hitting a limited number of photons and averaging them together to make things work, but for a different reason. Instead of it being area and exposure time, it's just render time and somewhat render efficiency. We're shooting too many rays that don't see a photon. We're wasting energy on things that aren't photons. And we eventually stop it. So it's a very similar source, although not quite the same. Other questions? Yes?
On the homework, there is the AA optional.
Yeah.
Is that looking at the surrounding pixels around it? Like?
No.
Okay.
All right. So let's, right, if this is the raster in front of the camera, the default system is having you shoot array here, and array here, and array here, and array here, and anything that goes between those rays you won't see. That will always be true with ray chasing, okay? But the idea of anti-aliasing is maybe we shoot four rays, or we shoot them completely at random, shoot multiple rays through a pixel, okay? So how do we know what a ray through a pixel is? Well, we have this algorithm that is given to you where you have this xx times right plus xsy times up plus forward, right? And these were generated based on pixel X. Okay? So if I want to have multiple within the same pixel, I need to have that pixel X plus or minus something less than 0.5. Right? So I can randomly perturb within the pixel, make a fractional pixel location before running in. Other questions? Yes?
What is the most interesting CS course you've done?
Do you want the most interesting course, or the most, like, as in the topic was very interesting, or the experience of being in the course was very interesting?
Either one.
It's, yeah, at least two answers. I took a class in my master's program that had only three students. So I decided to unschedule our room and we met in the professor's office. And we talked only about symbolic state model checking, which was a very interesting topic. I like symbolic state model checking. It's not something that's... The techniques we learned in that class have all been superseded, and some of the people that have superseded them are now members of our department. We hired two people who superseded these into our department just this past year. But it was an interesting process where you would try to make mathematical models of code, and it was really cyclically cool because everything was a group project with the three of us. But it wasn't taught like research. It was taught like professors. Anyway, it was a very interesting class. However, the class that the content probably I gained the most from was probably computational robust control. And that's hard to describe even why. There was a professor where I did my undergrad who had done electrical engineering and control theory and then switched to CS and then said, ooh, we should totally marry these two fields. And failed to convince the world, but totally convinced me. It was a fascinating course. Yeah. Anything else? I would say the class that the difference between the quality of the course and the quality of the experience was the largest. It was definitely my numerical methods class. It was one of the most interesting topics and one of the worst taught classes that I had experienced. Yeah. All right. So if we look at the calendar, where do I have the calendar here? You'll notice, we have a lot of TBDs coming up. I keep getting behind schedule in deciding what's in our TBDs. There's a non-trivial chance that we will decide to spend a whole another day on WebGL, and that will help us out with one. But we need to decide what's coming up. So here's the plan. I'm going to create a survey of topics, and you're going to get to allocate your ideal number of days on each. And I'll send that out. But to do that, I have to know what your ideal set of topics are. And so literally 2 minutes before class, I thought, I should start generating that list and then ask for input. And so I started generating that list, and then class started. And so I want to know what you're interested in. Anything graphical. We should also put in things, what other do I know we want, maybe? Anything you want to know. Any graphical topic, thing that we should talk about? Yeah?
Stencil buffers. And GPU path rendering.
I didn't spell stencil correctly. I should just turn off the spell check, then I won't know what I didn't spell correctly. All right. Anything else? Yeah?
Are trees encompassed with plants and leaves?
Okay.
Can we talk about, like, techniques that real-time rendering uses, like modern techniques?
Volumetric rendering techniques?
I guess this goes with the real-time graphics, but like dynamic lighting and scenes.
What about animating physics? Like, surprising mathematics, like weird connections to other fields.
Okay.
types of noise, like drone noise, etc.
Hair.
Goofy bird.
Cloth.
Fluids. It isn't one that had been spoken aloud. It was just the first time I taught this class, I sent out this poll, and most people put more than half of the time in fluid simulation. So we spent like 4 weeks on fluid simulation. Anyway, yeah.
Faces.
Just faces?
Yeah. I heard
they're Oh, okay.
Like
yeah, yeah. They're, okay. Yeah.
Weather effects.
This reminds me of a poem I don't know the origin of. Whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be hot, whether the weather be old or whether the weather be not, well, whether the weather, whatever the weather, and whether we like it or not. Thanks. Thanks. Anything else? Yeah.
How is like Pixar make their movies?
How long are we asking?
Well, that wasn't one of these questions. Right. We currently have 1 day listed for the basics. If you want more, we can spend a lot more on it.
Can you add that to the list?
Yes. Any particular things you want to know how to animate? All right. Okay. I will save this as a list of things that we will probably cover, or else let's save as a list of things that we will send around to get information. And I will send around that survey hopefully soon. All right. Yeah, I know you want to spend 3 semesters on each, but we don't have time. Yeah.
What about non-Euclidean geometry?
Oh yeah, okay. I actually know more about that than most people, I think. As far as the graphics side goes. Yeah?
Drawing things in 4D?
I know more about that than I wish I did too. These are actually both things I did in my master's work. Complete aside. Other things? Yeah?
Physically based rendering?
No. Okay. Yeah.
It's simulation with more camera effects.
You mean like lens flare and bloom and so on, or do you mean like how do we measure what your lens looks like?
I don't know, just like making it look more like it's shot with a camera. And
okay. Is that a fair? Yeah. Anything else? Okay. So today we have more WebGL. I had some links here this morning because I forgot to do it yesterday for Twiggle. Let's just briefly go to the Twiggle website and show why I added Twiggle. All right, so Twiggle. stands for the Tiny WebGL Helper Library. Okay? It isn't the only such thing, but basically, WebGL is just really, really verbose. So there are things like 3.js that are whole rendering engines that you give a scene graph and you say, I want it to look like metal, and it does all the back end for you. We're not going to talk about that. But this we will talk about. Let's do some compares. Let's compare, for example, these two examples. The top is Swiggle, the bottom is WebGL. Okay? Or, for example, how do you draw a cube? Clearly. Right? It turns out there's a lot of things that GL has that we just always want them to go together. And so Twiggle has this model of saying, we'll just use names and objects to make this work. And so I just didn't want to get lost in all of the GL array buffers. And you're welcome to look up what they all mean, but you can also just use Twiggle to do what you want to do 98% of the time. And because it's just a shorthand wrapper, if you need to go and do something strange, you can use the original tools. So we're going to talk a little about Twiggle, but I realized before that there is no guarantee you've ever learned JavaScript. So we're going to start with the minimal amount of things I think you need to know about JavaScript to not shoot yourself in the foot.
Or face.
Yes, or face. All right. Okay, so let's learn about JavaScript. All right, the first thing to know about JavaScript is it wasn't designed, it happened. That's not entirely true, but it wasn't designed for the purpose it has. So JavaScript, the first thing to know is it uses curly braces and semicolons. Okay, that's what you notice when you look at it. That was basically an appeal to the popularity of the day. It has nothing to do with Java. That's probably also worth noting. Okay? JavaScript was called JavaScript because Java was very popular and it seemed like a good marketing ploy. That was it. Okay? It has no relationship, and if the people that are working on Java had been a little bit more proactive, they probably could have tried to sue for trademark or something, but they didn't, and now they're both established, so huzzah. All right. The basics idea of JavaScript, it's dynamically typed. Okay, what do we mean by dynamically typed? In case you haven't had this explained, that means values have types, variables do not. As opposed to a strongly typed language where they both have types and a weakly typed language where only the variables do. This is a rough overestimation of both strong and weak typing, and I'm leaving out some details. But conceptually, that's what's going on here. So that means you can reuse a variable for multiple different values over time. The next thing to know is it is strange objects. Okay? It is object-oriented in a way you never thought object-oriented meant. There is no inheritance. There are prototypes. There is no virtual table. There is a hierarchy of prototype lookups. Anyway, we won't go into that. We don't have time, and it doesn't matter. The main thing you need to know is you have numbers. All are floats, unless you force them not to be. Using a bitwise operator. Okay, so only when you use something like AND or XOR do they turn into ints, and then only long enough to do the work and then turn back into floats. Surprise! Right. There are lists, but they're actually called arrays, but they aren't arrays, they're lists. Okay, in the sense that they can change length and you can insert things in the middle, but we call them arrays because actually, don't know why. We do. And there are objects. That's what we call them, but they're really maps or dictionaries. But we call them objects. Okay? And then the other fundamental type is function. It's a function. But it's actually a closure. But we don't need to know about that because, you know, anyway. All right, so we have these basic types. Functions are first class. There, a variable holds a function. When you define a function, you're really defining a variable to hold the function. Let me give a brief example of what that means. If I were to type the syntax here, function foo x return x plus 2, this is syntactic sugar, that is a shorthand way of writing var foo equals function x return x plus 2. Okay? And so this is what's actually happening, and this is just, we're decided to be nice to you. Okay? So we have this syntactic sugar. Another thing we have is we have semicolon inference. If you don't put a semicolon, we're going to guess. We're going to guess that you probably want a semicolon at the end of a line if sticking the two lines together is bad syntax. Okay? This actually works really well. It works so well, people very rarely use semicolons in JavaScript, and depending on what language they came from. So if you want to write it like Python, no semicolons, it'll probably work perfectly. If you want to write it like Java, semicolons everywhere, it'll probably work perfectly. And then if you're working with somebody else as the other one, they'll be like random, some lines will have semicolons, some won't, right? Anyway, and that will also work perfectly. So huzzah. Right. We have the standard control constructs for if, while, these sorts of things. I actually don't know if there's a do while. I've never seen it used, but meh. And then we also have strange strings. Okay, what do I mean by strange strings? That's actually a primitive type. I should mention that here. String is a base type. Okay. They might turn into other types sometimes. We could go into the details of this. It's so not relevant for what we need to do today, but just be aware that sometimes strings, poof, turn into numbers or vice versa. Less so than a language like PHP, more so than most other languages you've written, probably. Anyway. Yes. All right. And then... why did my computer freeze? Oh no. My computer ran out of memory because it's trying to do screen captures the same time I have Twiggle running in the background. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. I have confidence in my processor. Uh-oh, looks like the recording just stopped. Well, we don't have a lot to need screen captured yet. Please, please, please. Okay, let's close this because it had WebGL going in the background, and hopefully it'll eventually catch up and the recording won't be too strange. Let's actually see if the recording is still happening. Okay, that didn't work. All right, well, we'll hope the recording is still happening because at least I can type now. Other thing to know, this is super magic. Super magic. There is always a this. It always exists. It always talks about some object. And it changes which one it's talking about in ways that are not intuitive to people used to Java. For example, out here there's a this, and the this is window. Obviously. I mean, you would have inferred that, right? If it's just out in the global, of course, this is a window. And then the variables that we create are probably in the window and sometimes not. Anyway, there's a lot of things that are going on here. And to really, truly understand all of it is a little bit complicated. But we don't need to understand all of it. We can get by understanding just a little. Okay. It does seem to be running. Sort of. Ah! Now it has my header bar at the bottom. I don't know what happened. Okay, something strange is going on here. My computer has become haunted. Ah, well that's nice. Cinnamon just crashed. That's my windowing environment, by the way. Let's see what happens. Huh? That could have been worse. All right. Okay, and let's see. Nope. Is that still being generated? No, it's not. Okay, I'm going to have to start a new recording and figure out how to splice things together later. Let me stop this one.